and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy praises the agreement in principle on a debt ceiling deal.
This is a good, strong bill that a majority of Republicans will vote for.
What comes next? CBS's Scott McFarland takes a look.
The real work might take place next week, convincing House members to actually vote for it. Conservative members of the Freedom Caucus are criticizing it, saying it doesn't cut enough spending. And House progressives say they're concerned about the work requirements for people who receive social benefits, including nutritional assistance.
The House could vote on the bill on Wednesday. The Senate could take it up by week's end. Now that the Texas House of Representatives has voted to impeach Republican Attorney General Ken Paxton, all attention shifts to the Texas State Senate.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott has 10 days to schedule the Senate impeachment trial. Now suspended Attorney General Paxton calling the House vote against him a politically motivated sham.
I look forward to a quick resolution in the Texas Senate where I truly believe the process will be fair and just.
The next question is, can Paxton's wife, State Senator Angela Paxton, be an impartial juror in the trial? Rice University's Mark Jones.
Participation by Angela Paxton in this trial will depend in large part on the rules that Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick crafts.
Ken Paxton previously served in the Senate. Chris Fox for CBS News, Austin.
Former Wyoming Republican Representative Liz Cheney delivered the commencement address today at her alma mater, Colorado College.
We need you to work to defend our Constitution and to defeat those who deny the sanctity of our elections.
Cheney was a leader in the impeachment effort against former President Trump and lost her reelection. She's now a professor at the University of Virginia. Turkish President Recep Erdogan declared a victory in a historic runoff vote that posed the biggest challenge of his 20 years in power. CBS's Imtiaz Tayyab says voters had a lot to consider.
High in voters' concern in Turkey is the state of the economy and the damage caused by an earthquake in February. Before the disaster, Turkey was struggling with rising prices and a currency crisis that in October saw inflation hit 85%.
President Erdogan will serve a five-year term. New Mexico State Police say there will be zero tolerance after a shooting yesterday that killed three people and injured five others. All are believed to be gang members. The incident happened on the 41st annual Red River Memorial Day biker rally.
Anybody with warrants or anybody who can be arrested will be arrested. This is not going to happen again this weekend because we're not going to allow it.
New Mexico State Police Chief Tim Johnson says police have arrested Jacob Castillo. He's charged with one count of murder. This is CBS News.
Find your next great hire with Indeed. Their hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
I've been driving commercial vehicles for 20 years. Every big road across this country, anywhere the work takes me, that's where I'm driving. But that's not where I'm going. I'm going to see my little girl graduate high school and my boy get married and to teach my grandkids a thing or two. And I realize everyone out there is going somewhere. So it just makes sense to help each other get there safely. Let's all get where we're going. Learn more at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Paid for by the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration.
Nissan knows when designing cars, inspiration can come from unexpected places, like the samurai sword that inspired the roofline on the 2023 Nissan Z and the warrior helmet that inspired the grille design on the 2023 Nissan Frontier. Every detail is designed to get your heart racing because Nissan knows that thrill isn't just about 0 to 60. Thrill should start the moment you see a car. Nissan dares to break the mold to design unique cars that make every mile exciting.
At Lowe's, we're always bringing pros more ways to save. Right now, buy a select Metabo HPT cordless nailer and get a 36-volt, 2.5-amp-hour battery free, a $139.99 value. And as a Lowe's MVP, buy select Owens Corning shingles and earn 2x the bonus points per dollar. Lowe's knows pros. Valid 5/11 through 7/12. While supplies last, selection varies by location. U.S. only. Bonus points calculated before taxes and fees after applicable discounts, if any. Valid through 6/1. Subject to change.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time.
Ugh.
Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Partly cloudy tonight with lows around 48. Winds out of the southeast around 5 miles per hour. 84 tomorrow, partly cloudy skies. Partly cloudy skies again tomorrow night, lows around 56. Daytime highs approaching 85 Tuesday under partly cloudy skies. 88 Wednesday, chance for scattered thunderstorms. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 81.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
We have an opener, I swear. We've got an opener. No. Like, we got to roll with it. We got to roll with it, Luke. Come on, buddy. It's Friday.
All right, folks. Welcome to Dueling Tangents. My name is Luke Mathers. You are listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media here in Madison, broadcasting live from the Solidarity Realty Studios on Madison's Near West Side for Mad Radio, 92.7 FM, WMDX, 1580 AM, and around the state of Wisconsin on a Civic Media radio station near you. You can find out where
recording
all of those radio
stations
are across the Civic Media Network by heading over to the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. But around the state, the Shaw and Waukesha, Talk of Green Bay and Green Bay, and so many more. And it's Friday, so we will take your tangents on just about anything. We're going to get to the most Wisconsin headline of the week coming up a little bit later. But to start today's show, we are joined by State Representative Francesca Hong, representing the 76th Assembly District in the State Assembly. Francesca, how are we doing on this Friday afternoon?
I'm doing well, Luke. Please call me Fran.
I always feel like I got to get the formal introduction out there first, though.
I generally make just the Republicans call me Representative Hong, so we're amongst friends today, right?
Well, appreciate that, Fran. I'm really glad that you have some time to take out of your Friday afternoon to join me here on the airwaves. The big guy, Brian, wanted to be here, but he insists he will be stopping by the restaurant for either a late lunch or dinner. I don't know the exact timing, but he's planning to swing over there and get some ramen so that he can count that as his visit with you today.
I love that. Sending Brian all the good vibes. The team will absolutely take care of him.
Perfect. Well, we appreciate you joining us. And we've got just a couple of things going on here in the state of Wisconsin these days. You know, it's an off year. I would think with the elections behind us now that we've had our spring elections, we would be waiting for a slow news day. But unfortunately, we don't really receive those here in the state of Wisconsin. It is kind of all the time coming at us. And so we've got a shared revenue proposal that's going on. We've got the budget process. And we're also in the midst right now of Asian American Pacific Islander Heritage Month. That is the month of May. And you have a proposal that I was a little surprised when I saw this over at Madison 365, but it's a bipartisan proposal, Fran. What can you tell us about the proposal teaching Hmong history here in Wisconsin that is before the legislature?
Absolutely. So before I was in the legislature, Representative Katrina Shanklin and some of her Republican colleagues then introduced a bill that would add Asian Americans and Hmong Americans specifically to Act 31. Now, what Act 31 does is it designates that school boards include instruction on African Americans, Latinos, as well as Indigenous folks. And Asian Americans were excluded in that legislation. So what this bill does is it includes Asian Americans, and it's been introduced now, I think, over three sessions, and each time it has stalled in committee and was never given a public hearing. This year, we reintroduced it with Republicans actually as the lead author. So we have Representative Pat Snyder over in Wausau, and then Senators Corey Tomchick and Jesse James up in central and western Wisconsin as well. They are the primary authors. And this year, the Education Committee will be giving it a public hearing, which is an incredibly big step for us. We know that last session, it was fewer than 11% of Democratic-led bills that received, bipartisan bills that received a public hearing. So we're so excited that AB 32 will be given a public hearing in the Committee on Education. None of this would have happened without countless hours of organizing, advocacy, and engagement from students, families, school champions all across the state. But I think it goes to show that organizing works.
Yeah, it's fantastic to hear because I'm a product of the public schools here in the state of Wisconsin, and believe yourself as well. So it's interesting to me, though, to note through my public education that I was unaware of Wisconsin having the third highest population of Hmong Americans in our state. And so the fact that Asian American heritage and history was left out of that original provision, I think it makes perfect sense to add that in and be able to update our public school curriculum across the state of Wisconsin. And it's terrific to hear that we have a public hearing, and that's the first step. And obviously there's going to be a lot more organizing that needs to go on to continue to move that proposal forward. And it is terrific to hear that there are lead sponsors now that are of the Republican Party getting behind that, because as you noted, it was in a very, very small fraction of the proposals last session that even if they were bipartisan in nature, if they were introduced by Democratic lawmakers, they did not see those public hearings. And so we are in the midst, though, of the AAPI Heritage Month. There's terrific ways for people to get more information. I've been keeping an eye on the History Channel. That's where I've been seeing a lot of the updates for Asian American Pacific Heritage Month. I know that there's a lot of newsletters going around encouraging individuals to go and support Asian businesses across the state of Wisconsin. For some listeners out there that may not have the resources or are just unaware of those resources, how can they learn more about how to participate and celebrate AAPI Heritage Month?
Well, you're welcome to visit. Our office have multiple resources via our social media pages, or you can send us an email or a DM, and we're happy to provide additional resources about Asian-owned businesses in your area. But I think what's most important to remember about Asian American stories and Asian American history is that it's distinctly American. It's distinctly Wisconsin. Our values when it comes to respecting the elders, being in community, knowing that, we are, a fast-growing population, but also one that is not a monolith. And we have many diverse stories and so much to contribute to every community. So get to know folks in your Asian community. Obviously, getting small history lessons are great as well. But I think what's most important to remember is that we are here, we are leaders in communities, and that we're all across the state.
Yeah. And you yourself, the first Asian American lawmaker elected to the state legislature. And so I saw your statement on this being Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month. You hope to be the first of many that come to the legislature and get to serve the state of Wisconsin. And as we are seeing right now, the process for serving the state is going through the budgeting process. Unfortunately, we had about 545 provisions that were removed from the Joint Finance Committee. But you yourself, a small business owner, I know that there's many organizations trying to continue to put some terrific pieces of legislation into the upcoming biennial budget for small business owners specifically. What can you tell us about the budgeting process here in the state of Wisconsin and how that's been looking for small business owners like yourself?
Yes. So as you mentioned, unfortunately, the will of the people, which was reflected in the governor's budget with his multiple listening sessions and Democrats across the state, ensuring that we were putting the priorities of the Wisconsin people, like legalizing cannabis, increasing food security, making sure that small businesses like myself were able to offer things like childcare and making investments in housing. 545 of those provisions were stripped. And now the Joint Committee on Finance are doing what we call executive sessions. And so they meet and they vote on provisions to be included in the final bill, the budget bill that will be presented to the legislature later this June. Unfortunately, one of the items that would have been incredibly beneficial to small business owners across the state was paid family and medical leave. We know that neighboring states around us, we are now an island where we don't have comprehensive paid leave policies. And as a mom, as someone who values people, you know, taking care of their families, it's so important that folks have resources available to be able to take time off to care for their loved ones. And I think that this is really hurting small businesses' ability to be able to retain and recruit talented staff. And so although we're disappointed to see that paid leave was removed from the budget, one of the big issues we are advocating for is investment in childcare. Childcare is essential infrastructure. The people taking care of our children while parents and caregivers are working, they need raises. They need to be able to go to work in places that are providing a good environment for them so that we can take care of our youngest. And so I think this investment in childcare, you're seeing a coalition of different business bodies, including the Restaurant Association, including Main Street Alliance, that have been advocating for investment in childcare in this critical infrastructure for years. We are hoping that when the executive, when JFC meets to vote on investing the needed, the baseline $300 million for childcare accounts to make sure we don't see more childcare businesses and providers have to close. Because we're already seeing it. We're seeing what happens when we disinvest from our communities. And when there's infrastructure as critical as childcare, that impacts folks regardless of if they have kids or not. I have business owner friends who don't have kids, and they recognize how important a strong childcare infrastructure it is to make sure that we have healthier, more whole workforces and that our families are feeling supported. And so for us, we're putting as much as we can behind investment in childcare. And then for me personally right now, as a member of the Healthy School Meals for All Coalition, we were sad to see universal school meals get stripped from the budget, but we're continuing to advocate for free breakfast for all kids across our state.
Fantastic. Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined by State Representative Francesca Hong. And it is very important to point out, Fran, that we know some of these things are, there are policy decisions that can be made that have a concrete impact, specifically when it comes to policy surrounding children, because we cut child poverty in half at the federal level with an expanded childhood tax credit. That tax incentive cut child poverty in half. Investing in childcare and doing things for our children, we can see the real-world ramifications of what those policies have on families across the state of Wisconsin and across the United States when they're implemented. And so I think it's very important that we're investing in our children. I think it's very important that we're going to be investing in many different things in this budget. It's a biennial budget. It's a huge piece of legislation. We also know that there's a huge piece of legislation going through the state legislature right now. So we do have to head to a commercial break, but I want to pick your brain on the shared revenue proposals that are being discussed, both the Republican state lawmaker proposals and the one from Governor Tony Evers. Folks, if you want to share a tangent with us here on this Friday afternoon, you can give us a call. Send us a text, 844-967-2789. Joined by State Representative Francesca Hong, representing the 76th Assembly District in the State Assembly. And it's a beautiful Friday afternoon, so if you're on the road, you're listening along to Civic Media, share a tangent with us. We're going to continue the conversation with the representative when we get back.
Here's what's happening. WFHR Community Calendar is brought to you by Something Sweet, Swiftwater Ice Cream. Enjoy the guilt-free, no-fat, no-sugar scooped ice cream and the 32 flavors of Cedar Crest. And don't forget their made-to-order appetizers. It'll leave your taste buds dancing. Family-owned and operated and open daily from noon until 9 p.m. Swiftwater Ice Cream in Nakusa, or find them on Facebook.
Visit the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center Friday, June 2nd to see the Charlie and Howard duo at their first Music on the Patio event. Tickets are $10 and include one drink ticket. Kids 12 and under are free. Seating is limited, so plan to bring a lawn chair. Visit the Southwood County Historical Museum on the opening day of the Navajo Code Talkers exhibition with a presentation by their military historian William Parker on Sunday, June 4th from 2 to 4 p.m. This exhibit is free and open to the public on Sundays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. starting June 4th through June 29th.
Does your vehicle have over 75,000 miles? Get maximum high-mileage engine protection with new Syntec Full Synthetic High-Mileage Motor Oil exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Right now, get 5 quarts of Syntec High-Mileage and a MicroGuard Select Oil Filter for just $34.99. Limits apply. Ask for Syntec High-Mileage at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The Memorial Day weekend, the official start to the summer season for festivals, barbecues, simply enjoying our freedom. But during his Memorial Day speech in 2020, President Joe Biden described it as a day when we must renew a sacred vow, a simple vow, to remember. Remember. Wisconsin was one of the earliest states to recognize a Memorial Day in 1875. Please join all of us at Civic Media as we remember those who gave their lives so we can enjoy our freedom.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
It's Friday, Friday.
Stop that. You're not going into a song while I'm here.
You said it, man.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. You are listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. If you want to learn more about what we're up to here as a growing radio network across the state of Wisconsin, follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, all of the socials, Civic Media. And I am joined on a Friday afternoon by Francesca Hong, state representative representing the 76th Assembly District in the State Assembly. And Francesca, we've got an interesting dilemma, it seems like, at the different state assembly and state Senate Republicans finding where they are on shared revenue.
Luke, Republicans are in disarray.
But
they seem to be playing each other right now, and I am okay with that if it just wasn't at the expense of the people of Wisconsin.
Yeah, if the stakes weren't so high, I think it would be a little bit more interesting to keep an eye on. But because the stakes are so high for our local municipalities, it's very important that a piece of legislation gets sent through the state legislature and signed by Governor Tony Evers. He indicated when the Republican proposal initially came out that he was not going to be able to sign it as is. He threatened a veto, and it got Republican lawmakers having a conversation about where they could make some changes and seek some compromise. At least some of our Republican lawmakers in Wisconsin. Robin Voss is pretty much this week came out to the steps of the state capitol and said, "I'm done negotiating." He made very, very little concessions. He essentially raised the minimum threshold from 10% to 15% for funding to municipalities, but still kept in all of the strings attached for the city and county of Milwaukee to be able to accept the increases of shared revenue. And really, as I believe it was State Senator Lena Taylor saying, that it is essentially a gun to the county and city's head when it comes to finances. It's saying you need to accept this, otherwise you're going to go off a fiscal cliff. And so we'd love to just hear your thoughts that how it's been unfolding in the state capitol, in the building, about these discussions surrounding shared revenue and where you believe there may be some compromise between the Republican proposal and the proposal put forth by Democratic Governor Tony Evers.
So I think first, it's really important to recognize that for the past 12 years, we have been asking our towns, our cities, our villages to do more with less. Shared revenue, the money that is coming in from taxpayers across the state, should be shared with local municipalities so they can provide vital services like fire and EMS, and making sure that local roads and stop signs and city services all function properly. But unfortunately, that formula has been broken because the state has not been distributing their fair share. It is due time that local municipalities are properly funded so that they can provide the services that Wisconsinites rely on. The governor's budget proposal for shared revenue put in a good chunk of that almost $7 billion surplus we have right now so that our local municipalities and our counties are able to provide vital services for our communities. Unfortunately, the Republicans, are saying they may be arguing in good faith and have been bringing folks to the table. But unfortunately, these negotiations have created a bill that is not ready for prime time, that is inadequate, and that is unfinished. For the speaker to say that now he is done negotiating is basically saying he's going to punt. He's evading responsibility. And it's incredibly unfortunate because these dollars that need to go to our municipalities, especially the city of Milwaukee, it is a very critical juncture. And so it's, again, to play politics instead of putting Wisconsinites first is something that we see our Republican colleagues doing all the time. I'm somewhat hopeful that the Senator Devin LeMahieu is indicated that he may take some of the policies out. But what is needed most is what the governor proposed, a clean bill that doesn't put policies into the shared revenue formula. When Republicans back in the Walker days, they would talk about local control all the time. But unfortunately, the bill in front of us undermines local control. It takes away local municipalities from doing things like putting in referendum and deciding how to use the dollars that their constituents have been paying. We want there to be autonomy for our cities, villages, and towns. They know what's best for their communities. And so ultimately, what's needed is a clean bill. What I think the compromise will be is hopefully there will be local municipalities will still have authority to do more with the dollars. And I'm, we're eagerly anticipating what happens in the Senate. But I am hopeful that we are going to get much needed relief out to our local municipalities.
Yeah, and it's going to be very important to keep an eye on how the state Senate, through its public hearing in the coming days and weeks, formulates their proposal, what passes that legislative body, and how the two sides between the state assembly and state Senate will have to come together around that. And a lot of the things that happen inside the building do receive some public pressure from outside organizing, as you and I have discussed both today and many a times in your appearances in the past. What can you tell us about what's going on around the state capitol tomorrow?
Yes. And so we know the investment in our kids, they are needed now so that we have a more sustainable future for Wisconsin. When I hear my Republican colleagues not want to make investments in our children and their well-being, I wonder who do they expect to take care of them when they get older and aren't working anymore. But what's most important for our communities, rural, urban, suburban, is investment in our schools. And so there is going to be a rally tomorrow morning at the state capitol. I'm sorry, tomorrow afternoon at the state capitol, Saturday, May 20th at 2 p.m. You can join other public school champions, parents, educators, community members who know how important it is to have strong public schools for our democracy, for our kids and our communities.
Fantastic. So you can enjoy the farmers market up on the square and then go and do a little political action, maybe grab some lunch with a terrific bowl of ramen like Brian's going to try to do today for either his late lunch or early dinner. Francesca Hong, thank you so much for joining us here on Dueling Tangents. We really appreciate you taking some time out of your Friday afternoon and joining us.
Absolutely. Happy to be here. Take care.
Thanks, you too. Folks, if you want to share a tangent with us, 844-967-2789. We're going to be right back.
Change myself.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Locally Grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
It was a normal day.
He was in some minor accident, a fender bender.
And I had this impulse to call him, but I didn't, because I thought I could call him later that week.
He abandoned the car, he came home, and he shot himself without ever talking to anyone.
When I came home that night and I found her, they told me that she had shot herself, and I couldn't believe it. I asked if he was okay.
Taking a gun into your house for protection is a terrible myth.
Once you pull that trigger, that's it. There is no coming back.
65 Americans a day die by gun suicide. Store your gun securely, locked, unloaded, and away from ammunition. Help stop suicide. Learn more at infamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
I'm Kirsten from Pentatonix. We've all learned how to cope with more time alone. With more time spent isolated or at home, the need for companionship has grown. If you've considered adding a pet to your family, please check with your local shelters and foster organizations. Stray pet numbers have grown immensely over the past several years, and the trauma caused to these animals is devastating. Adopt pets, they need us more than we know. This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
Kids across America are going to school hungry. Millions of kids every day. Hungry kids get sick more often and can struggle in school. It can be harder for them to focus and learn. But one simple thing can help change all of this for a hungry child in America. Good healthy food and the energy it brings. With help from caring people across America, No Kid Hungry is providing healthy meals and hope to hungry kids so they can build better futures.
We want to ensure that all of our kids have healthy meals every day.
Thank you.
Thank you for helping feed our kids.
To learn more about ending child hunger in America, go to helpnokidhungry.org today.
Here's your forecast from Locally Grown Radio, WFHR.
Partly cloudy tonight with lows around 48. Winds out of the southeast around 5 miles per hour. 84 tomorrow, partly cloudy skies. Partly cloudy skies again tomorrow night, lows around 56. Daytime highs approaching 85. Tuesday, under partly cloudy skies. 88 Wednesday, chance for scattered thunderstorms.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 81.
We're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Saturday and Sunday at 1 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Golden faces dancing in the sand.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. You can download the Civic Media app and take us with you on the go wherever you go this summer. It's getting ready for the holidays. We got the Memorial Day holiday coming up. Then you got the next excellent summer holidays, that is. You got Flag Day, Independence Day, all the way through Labor Day. When you're traveling throughout the summer, take us with you on the go. Download the Civic Media app. Wherever apps are downloaded, you can jump from station to station, stream to stream, and hear all the excellent programming being produced here by Civic Media. And I want to thank again State Representative Francesca Hong for joining us for that first half hour of the show. If you missed any portion of the show, you can check out the podcast. It will be posted later this afternoon. And really appreciate Francesca taking the time out of her afternoon to join us to discuss all of those topics. And interestingly, she brought up something that I want to dive into before we get head over to the most Wisconsin headline of the week. And if you've got a Wisconsin headline that you want to submit for the most Wisconsin headline of the week, give us a call. Send us a text, 844-967-2789. Evan, I have a feeling you're not going to be surprised by what I got pulled for the most Wisconsin headline.
I don't like surprises, Luke.
I don't think you're going to be surprised. Don't worry. But before we get to that, something Francesca and I were alluded to in our conversations, and this one came up to me, is investing in young people. And Republicans so adamantly against childcare, being able to fund universal school lunch and breakfast, and all of the various things. The attacks on education, telling schools and libraries what books they can and cannot read. It's baffling to me why Republicans are so shocked that they come up with theories like indoctrination. It's the schools are indoctrinating these young people. It's not that our ideas are terrible. It's the indoctrination at our schools. And the headline came across in preparing for today's show. And it's an interesting headline because it doesn't really allude to the body of the piece, but kind of does. The return of the emerging Democratic majority? This is over at New York Magazine, written up by Eric Levitz.
Emerging Democratic majority?
Yeah, you got that upwards inflection. Good job. Good job, E. But essentially, it talks about how Zoomers, the Generation Z Zoomers, and Millennials are now to the point where we are the largest voting bloc for demographics here in Wisconsin. Excuse me, the country. And so the rise was first seen in 2018 when in a midterm election year, which typically tends to have lower voter turnout. It was surprising how many young people came out to vote in 2018, and goes into something that we talked about a lot here on Dueling Tangents all last fall, is the lack of the red wave that was supposed to be in this most recent midterm election, 2022. And so talking about the demographic changes to be able to explain why the electoral results of 2022 were against the standard trend. Typically, in the midterm election, the party that is in the White House, the political party of the president, tends to fare poorly compared to the out of the White House party.
To my mind, I mean, it was a frenetic 4 years. It was intense. I mean, that he wore people out. 45 wore people out. I mean, the constancy, if that's a word, just how intense it was.
Yeah.
Never ending.
And 2022 was going to be a jump away from that, Evan. He was not on the ballot. He was not on the ballot in 2022. He did endorse a lot of candidates. So through extension, he was on some ballots, you could say. Tim Michaels, the Republican nominee for governor here in Wisconsin, was very excited to have that endorsement throughout the primary. And then the day after the primary, tried to get rid of it. But there's been a lot of conversation. There's going to be a lot of analysis still going forward about the 2022 numbers. How we got to where we are. Why the effects were not what it was not. Past was not prologue in 2022. There were trends that were tossed. Those trends did not see. And yes, Republicans still won back the House of Representatives, but they did not fare well in statewide elections or elections for the U.S. Senate. And so this piece over at the New York Magazine discusses why those trends may be the case and why Gen Z and millennials may be voting the way that they are. So the opening of the piece goes through a lot of analysis, specifically from the Democratic data firm Catalyst. It points to another critical factor of why those trends were bucked. And it's the political ascendance of millennials and Zoomers. America's youngest adult generation has been integral to the 2018 blue wave. Millennials saw their turnout rate surge from 22% in 2014, in that midterm year, to 42% 4 years later in 2018. The oldest Zoomers became eligible to vote in that midterm for the first time, and they cast ballots at a rate higher than millennials or Gen Xers had in their respective first midterms. Critically, Zoomers and millennials collectively cast more than 60% of their votes for Democrats, helping the party win the national House vote by a landslide margin.
And I was shocked, right?
That was back in 2018.
Yeah. A lot of people were really, really impressed, you could say, at the turnout.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I try and sort of temper the excitement, that frenetic antisocial energy that the GOP has been bringing. I mean, there's a counterweight to it. People are going to get uncomfortable with it. People are going to want to do something about it. You know, the timing was almost sort of perfectly metered to get people to the polls.
Right. And so discussed that this was an ominous development, and this reading from the piece, it was an ominous development for the GOP. Still, Republican operatives could comfort themselves with a pair of thoughts, two thoughts. First, while America's rising generations might turn out in historical high numbers to rebuke President Trump, their participation was bound to fall sharply once politics grew more banal. And second, though millennials and Zoomers were currently the least Republican generations that America had produced since Lincoln's time, they would surely age into a more ordinary partisan distribution. But in 2022, we saw that was not kind thinking, or it was not kind to the wishful thinking of those two thoughts. And so we've seen now, and now there's a question of whether or not those anomalies of 2018 and 2022 of higher voter turnout among younger generations is now going to be the trend rather than an exception to the rules.
Not even an exception, right? A response to that intensity, once again. As things cool down a little bit, I would expect the numbers to cool down as well. That's my take on it.
Well, and interestingly enough, Evan, that's the take of this piece too. It is not surprising that millennials have retained their exceptionally strong Democratic lean even as they've exited their youth. Although cohorts do tend to grow a bit more conservative when or if they have children and buy a home, most voters' political affiliations are cemented in adolescence and early adulthood when a myriad of other aspects of their identities are forged. Millennials spent their formative years watching George W. Bush preside over catastrophic wars and an economic disaster, while his party embraced soon-to-be-discredited social crusades such as opposition to gay marriage. And millennials were also raised by parents who were markedly more social liberal than the boomers' forebears. It is therefore unsurprising that the generation has proven durably hostile to a Republican Party that refuses to abandon the culture commitments of America's white evangelical minority. And so I think that in really well summation sums up how we got the midterm election results that we had in 2018 and 2022. And we can continue to see these cultural fights just being picked up by the Republican Party here in Wisconsin and around the country. Bud Light, Mr. Potato Head, Dr. Seuss, these cultural wars that they want to wage, that they want M&Ms.
It wears people out.
M&Ms.
You can, it's fun for a little while.
It's not even fun for a little while, Evan. Yeah. Most of the time, I'm just scratching my head and I'm saying, where is this coming from?
It's fun for them, you know? It's a morsel to chew on for a little bit. But your dog gets tired, right? Yeah. You can't chew all the time.
Yeah.
24/7 for years.
So this piece is an excellent, again, long-form journalism over at the New York Magazine. I highly recommend it. It is a fascinating piece talking about the specific trends, because this will be a topic that we'll continue to talk about here on Dueling Tangents, is whether or not 2018 and 2022 were outliers or the beginning of a new trend. Because a lot of folks... Evan, we were called crazy here on Dueling Tangents during the 2022 midterms. I'm talking about how I did not think it was going to be a red wave. I talked about it. I was receiving the data. Simon Rosenberg, a political scientist that I was following very closely, was talking about a lot of these trends and a lot of this information back in October and November leading up to those midterms. And you had people calling in, no, it's going to be a red wave, tsunami.
Yeah, I saw people cooling off too. You know, I didn't get the same data you did, but just because things got pretty spooky for a little while there around 2018. You could see it. You could really see it around, right?
Yeah.
Where I lived, you could see it. You know, more flags. You know, people doing these little, not parades, but just driving around the block, driving around town for a few hours, you know, with a bunch of flags up, music blasting. It was this sort of really weird energy.
Well, it's interesting because the Let's Go Brandon signs that I've seen in my community, they're gone.
Yes, they are.
They've been fading away. They've been leaving. And so it's going to be interesting to see when, it seems like he's going to be back on the ballot this time. All signs are pointing to a 2024 rematch between former President Donald Trump and Joe Biden.
And DeSantis. That's weird, man. That's weird.
Do you think?
I don't know. I just don't. He has a lot of money. He's got that going for him, which is nice.
I think he has
no charisma. Goodness gracious.
He has negative charisma.
Yes, he does.
I would say he has negative. It's not that he has no charisma. He has negative charisma.
Yeah.
But I think he's been delaying an announcement for president because I think he's second guessing it.
He's been trashing Trump. That's the thing that sort of...
You could still do that as governor of a state, though. You don't have to be a presidential candidate.
It just seems
that
rather aggressive, you know, if you're not going to be...
I don't think he's been nearly aggressive enough. I don't know. If he truly wanted to jump into that race, I think you have to come out swinging. You have to take the talking points that Chris Christie, former governor of New Jersey, is using, saying that you got to punch Trump right in the mouth.
Well, he threw a Charlie horse. That's how I see it.
Threw
a Charlie horse.
I don't even know if there's anything been that strong. I think the pudding fingers remarks that DeSantis has been labeled with is the hardest punch I've seen in any hypothetical Republican primary so far. But it is interesting to see if Ron DeSantis does announce. But even...
Because I wouldn't know who else it would be. That's really the only thing.
If you're given the choice, though, between Coke and Diet Coke, Evan,
which one
are you picking?
Which
one are you picking? Are you picking Coke or Diet Coke?
If
you're a fan of Coca-Cola, are you going to pick Coke or Diet Coke?
Coke.
Right.
Coca-Cola.
And so if you're a Republican voter that's a fan of Donald Trump, you're not going to take Donald Trump light in Ron DeSantis or any of the other GOP governors that would try to imitate and impersonate Donald Trump and be like, I'm Donald Trump without the baggage. If you can vote for Donald Trump, if you're a Trump fan and you have that option in the GOP primary, which all signs are pointing that he is going to be the front runner in that primary, Republican primary voters are going to vote for Donald Trump.
Sure.
It does not seem like any of the other alternatives are making the case. And then you've got Trump back on the ballot again. So then it's not a midterm like 2018 or 2022 when his name's not on the ballot. It is an instance of 2020.
Gotta say, though, the last month has been pretty nice. He's been taking some hits.
It'll be interesting to see. We'll continue to keep an eye on that primary as well. We're going to get to the most Wisconsin headline of the week coming up next, as well as your phone calls. You can call or text 844-967-2789. It is a Friday afternoon here on Dueling Tangents. You can also follow the show on Twitter at Dueling Tangents there. Keep up with the show after we end at 3 o'clock.
What's Elon doing, do you think?
I think he's just running a social media company into the ground. Folks, share your tangents with us on this Friday afternoon, 844-967-2789.
Did you know Bratfest, the annual Memorial Day weekend event in Madison, is 40 years old? Its history is pretty rich, too, when the grocery store-owning Metcalf family set up a brat tent in the store parking lot to sell brats to customers. By 2004, more than 180,000 brats were being sold in the parking lot. Okay, so now can you guess how many gallons of ketchup are needed for the brats every year? 30 gallons? 45? 74 gallons? The answer coming up. These days, the fest isn't just about the brats.
You know, we have a kid zone, we have a farm zone, we have a sports zone. Just not really like anything else.
That's Michael Alexander, one of the organizers.
Roughly 150,000 of our closest and dearest friends.
And more numbers. 4 million brats over 40 years, raising $2.5 million, supporting more than 120 nonprofits. And the amount of ketchup used? 74 gallons. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. The Army National Guard has taught me the value of showing respect to those I come in contact with each day. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threats. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed and accomplish the mission. Plus, the Army National Guard education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn how you too can live and serve part-time, close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
2.7 WMDX.
It's Friday, 'cause I've been working all week. I've got a feeling inside me, a feeling like
welcome back to Dueling Tangents. You can share a tangent with us in our final segment of the week, 844-967-2789. Again, the number to call or text, 844-967-2789. And it's time for the most Wisconsin headline of the week. Evan, I'm a little upset about this one, but boy, I think we are probably the only state where this can make such a major headline. Maybe there's one, two other states that would have it, but you got any guesses of what I saw this week as the most Wisconsin headline?
I do not, man. I don't. I know some cliches. I know some Midwestern stereotypes, but no. Give it to me.
After 87 years, the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile is getting a new name.
Ooh, yeah.
Do you see this one?
No, I don't like this.
You didn't see that Oscar Mayer's going to rename the Wienermobile?
I don't like this at all.
It's going to be called the Frankmobile.
Oh, the other name's like misogynist or something. Like they're...
No.
You're going woke on us, Luke.
It's not even going woke. It's an ad campaign. Very similar to how Planters decided to kill Mr. Peanut. They're just they're trying to come up with a little bit of marketing and... American meat and cold cut producer Oscar Mayer has changed the name of its famous Wienermobile to the Frankmobile. The company, whose history in Madison spans 100 years, says the change is reflective of the hot dog recipe it will be releasing this summer. Since 1936, the hot dog themed Wienermobile, whose drivers are known as hot doggers, has been used to promote Oscar Mayer products. The Frankmobile mostly resembles the Wienermobile, except for a decal displaying the new name. So it's going to have 100% Frankfurters, essentially, now. It's going to be the Frankmobile. And I feel like if they wanted to change it, they could have made it Frank the Tank.
Yeah, I like it. Even though, isn't that... I think that references, like, a pretty terrible, like, crime spree that happened on the West Coast. Yeah,
really?
A guy built a tank in his garage. This is a tangent for us. I wish I had the story in front of me.
You're the true crime professional here on Dueling Tangents.
Oh, yeah. a disgruntled man sort of huddled out in his home, and over the course of like months and months and months, built a tank. You know, he built a transmission and the frame for it and all the armor plating.
He put together a tank.
Yes. And then he went on, I don't believe anybody got hurt or died.
With a tank involved? That's surprising.
Well,
then.
He just
a homemade
town,
tank.
Yeah, running streetlights over, you know, and damaging cop cars. Like, it was a pretty intense.
It's a pretty intense. You want to know what I think of when I hear Frank the Tank?
I know what I. Well,
I think of the old school with Will Ferrell.
Yes.
Will Ferrell going streaking, Frank the Tank.
It was here somewhere.
Yes, in the movie Old School, and that's the only thing that I can think of. But I feel like changing it from Wienermobile to Frankmobile just to promote a change in the recipe for the hot dogs that Oscar Mayer is producing, I guess if you're looking for a marketing ploy, you can go with it. But
nobody
at the
wins
same
here,
time,
man. Nobody wins here.
At the same time, this is a pretty Wisconsin headline to see that the beloved Wienermobile is changing its name for marketing reasons. And this submission brought to us by William Walter. I wanted to talk about it on Wednesday, and Will said, no, you need to save that one for the most Wisconsin headline of the week. So that was Will's submission, and it is my winner for this week, because by far, very interesting to see that this is what's making headlines, is the marketing ploy for Oscar Mayer. Folks, if you want to share a tangent with us here in the final minutes of the show for the week, 844-967-2789. You can call or text. You got something there? Oh, okay. All right. You're signaling to me that you got something.
I'll be back in a moment.
Oh.
I won't leave. I'm here with you.
I thought it was, I got one more thing I wanted to add to the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile.
I wish.
Yeah, it is pretty interesting marketing ploy, but also going on with some of the notable Wisconsin headlines is over at the Journal Sentinel, talking about how Milwaukee is one of the only places in the world where you can have a city that is celebrating all of the different festivals that it will be celebrating this year. So festival season kicking off on the Summerfest grounds, the Henry Meyer Festival grounds on the Milwaukee's lakefront. And that was a close runner-up. Can you hear me?
Yeah, buddy, I got you.
Oh, okay. I couldn't hear myself. And then, all right. But talking about all the festivals going around the area for the city of Milwaukee, including Summerfest, but all of the Irish Fest, German Fest, Festa Italiana, and so many more. So that is another very Wisconsin headline of the week. But it is very fascinating to see the Wienermobile changing its name to the Frankmobile.
This is not a good thing. No one wins here. Like you said, it's almost a century. A century of lore, of established presence.
Did you ever get to tour one?
Maybe in school once. If I did, it was, I can say this now, over 20 years ago.
Wow, there you go.
Yeah.
I had friends that used to like follow it around when it was in town to try to see, wait to get it to stop, because they always gave the whistles away.
Oh, yeah. No, so yeah. They were pumped, ready
yeah,
to go.
So there was always, throughout the summers in high school, the friends would be driving around for Wienermobile sightings and try. I believe one of my friends got to sit in the front seat. I would have to ask him real quick to find out if that truly was the case, but that was, for a while there, I feel like that's a Wisconsin tradition, is going and getting your picture taken with the Wienermobile, but now it's going to be the Frankmobile.
And there are six of them. You know, there are six Wienermobiles.
What?
So they can be everywhere at once. That's right. There are
Did
six
we have
of them.
One specifically located here in Wisconsin? Because I know that the Oscar Mayer is now left from the Madison plant. Next closest plant, I want to say, is Davenport or Des Moines.
I can only imagine that, yeah, they do strategically space them out, right? But there is an app. There is an app that you
There's
can download.
There's an app that you can track
you
the
can
Frankmobile
track
now?
The Frankmobile, that's right.
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to have to see. Well, that's a cool app. The Civic Media app, much, much cooler. But that I may have to see if I can get that onto my smartphone and see what we're going about tracking the Frankmobile throughout the summer. It's definitely something I know tons of young kids, even in the high schoolers, chasing it around. So it's an icon here in Wisconsin. Very interesting to see. I wonder if it's going to get renamed. Say they change the recipe again, Evan, if it's going to get renamed to be the Wienermobile one day, or if it's going to forever be the Frankmobile.
They might as well. If they change it now, then, you know, anything can happen. You know, yeah. My world has been shaken.
That's the most Wisconsin headline of the week. Folks, you've been listening to Dueling Tangents. Really appreciate, again, State Representative Francesca Hong for joining us, giving us a breakdown of her proposal and a bipartisan proposal to go before the state legislature to include Asian American and Hmong heritage in history lessons for public schools, giving us a breakdown of the budget negotiations and the shared revenue proposals. If you missed any portion of the show, go check out the podcast. Have an excellent weekend. Dueling Tangents will be back at 2 p.m. on Monday. We'll talk to y'all then.
Hey, honey.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to